Okay, you right, girls? Okay, so as we know, today is Yom Kippur. It began at sunset last night on September the 27th, ending at sunset September the 28th, which is 2 days of the Hebrew calendar, the 9th and the 10th days of the Hebrew month of Etanim. To the Jewish people who are observe the Torah of the rabbinic doctrine, today is a day of hopeful mourning, are hoping that Yehovah will forgive their sin for another year. They try to do good works throughout the year and in the hope that they will obtain eternal life. They have no blood sacrifice, which is required by the Elohim of Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, in order for their sins to be forgiven and removed, even though they do kill a chicken, I will admit. Just because the temple no longer stands, or the Mishkan no longer stands, it doesn't nullify the requirements of Yehovah, their Elohim. They have rejected the Lamb of Yehovah, Yeshua, whose blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins and the removal of sin, and therefore think that they can appease him by doing good deeds and prayers and fasting on Yom Kippur. But we, the ones who know Yeshua as our great high priest and have been redeemed by his blood, the blood of the Lamb, can enter his presence with humble thanksgiving today. We don't have to be in mourning. These are Yah's instructions for this day according to the scriptures of Leviticus 23, 26 to 32. Yehovah said to Moshe, the 10th day of this 7th month is Yom Kippur. You are to have a holy convocation. That is what we are doing. You are to deny yourselves. You are to bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah, but we can't do that. We're not allowed fire in this room. You are not to do any kind of work on that day because it is Yom Kippur. To make an atonement for you before Yehovah, your Elohim. Anyone who does not deny himself on that day is to be cut off from his people. And anyone who does any kind of work on that day, I will destroy from among his people. You are not to do any kind of work. It is a permanent regulation through all your generations, no matter where you live. So it doesn't matter whether we're in the land or in the diaspora. It's for every generation, and the generations are still going on, as proof as we've got in this room, so it will continue. It will be for you a Shabbat of complete rest, and you are to deny yourselves. You are to rest on your Shabbat from evening of the 9th day of the month until the following evening. So it's a 2-day thing. Now let's have a look at that scripture and break it down. One, we are to have a holy convocation. And as I said, that's what we're doing now. Two, you are to deny yourselves. Some scriptures in the King James Version or the Authorized Version will say, and you shall afflict your souls. What is your soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's not your stomach. Nowhere in scripture does it say you afflict your stomach and don't put food into it or water into it. And to deny ourselves doesn't have to be done by fasting. And I'm sure you all know what Malachi and I do. We're very touchy-feely people. We don't touch. We haven't kissed yet today. Can't wait for the sun to go down. Because we afflict our souls. You know, we never wake up in the morning without giving each other a kiss. Or, you know, it's just the things we do. Malachi brings me a cup of coffee and a kiss. I'm blessed. So I've been denied of that today. because it afflicts my soul. You are to bring an offering made by fire to Yehovah. Well, we can no longer do that. But one, we're not in Jerusalem. And two, there's no longer a Mishkan or temple or a priesthood in operation. Four, you are not to do any kind of work on that day. This is a permanent regulation. What I am doing, what Malachi and the girls are doing and Jacob are doing at the table, that's not classed as work. We are doing Yehovah's will. And verse 32, because today has got to be a day of rest, a day of Shabbat. So we're not to have our slave work or our donkey work or anything else. And verse 32 repeats what was said in the previous verses, just in case we didn't get the message the first time. When this passage is read in the Authorized Version or the King James Version of Scriptures, and it says, you shall afflict your soul from evening of the ninth day to the evening of the tenth day, you observe Shabbat. Afflict in Hebrew has a different meaning to what we think it has. So I'm going to explain that. In Hebrew, to afflict one's soul, to afflict means to humble, to make low, to abase or weaken. And when we make low, abase or weaken the soul, that is our mind, our will and our emotions, our reasoning, our thoughts, our self-will, our self-life, the life that contacts this world through the five senses. The soul is actually the seat of the sin nature of man, and rebels against the commandments of Yehovah, or rebels against the commands of Yehovah. It does not say your stomach in any way, shape or form in Scripture. You know, so please don't feel guilty if you've had something to eat. I have to eat because I take medication, and I can only take that medication with food. And so many people feel weak in their spirit because they've eaten. But that's not the case. That's a guilt being put on you that you don't have and that you don't need. Because the rabbis do it, because they've trained their people to do it, doesn't mean that it is in Scripture. They go without food and water for the 24 hours. I've done that, and that is so hard, especially if you've got to speak as well. Speaking with a dry mouth's not good. So if you've got a dry mouth and an empty stomach, your mind isn't in the right place to be able to do the things you do. Because I know if I don't eat, then I get dizzy. And so you've got to have your mind in the right place. And it's not in the right place if my stomach doesn't have food in it. On Yom Kippur, we have the opportunity to weaken our soul and abase our soul, to bring it low, so that it might submit to the dictates of the eternal reborn Ruach HaKodesh, which is born above from above by faith in the Messiah's death and resurrection and our eternal life. We bring our soul into subjection to the Ruach, which is in subjection to Yehovah's Ruach HaKodesh. We bring our soul and our spirit into unity by obedience to the word of Yehovah, out of love for him. And this is what the scriptures call the saving of the soul. In Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, in other words, do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of the Olam Hazeh, that is, this world. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you will know what Yehovah wants and will agree that what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. We can see through Yehovah's word that we are to transform our mind to conform to his perfect will. By repentance, in humility and contriteness, we lower our self-life in personal openness to his watchful eye, so that he can convict us of sin. He can convict us of our personal mistakes that need adjusting to his righteousness. This is not a religious ritual. This is something personal between you and Yah. It's not something that I can tell you what you've got to do and what you haven't got to do. Because Yah will speak to you. The Ruach HaKodesh will speak to each and every one of you individually. And that's when you deal with what you need to deal with through what he has spoken to you. Many people think that fasting is what is required for Yom Kippur because it is a Jewish tradition. As you know, we don't follow the Jewish things or the traditions of men. We only follow the word of Yehovah. To deny the body of food without sincere, humble repentance is a waste of time. Fasting is too often a religious practice that makes one proud and self-righteous. What is the fast I have chosen, Yehovah says. And he points us to Yeshayahu chapter 58, which we read today. And we'll have a look at again. In 58 verses 5 to 7, is this the sort of fast I want? A day when a person mortifies himself? Is the object to hang your head like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under yourself? Is this what you call a fast? A day that pleases Yehovah? Here's the sort of fast I want. Releasing those unjustly bound. Untying the thongs of the yoke. Letting the oppressed go free. Breaking every yoke. Sharing your food with the hungry. Taking the homeless poor into your house. Clothing the naked when you see them. Fulfilling your duty to your kinsmen. That's the kind of fast he wants. Totally different to denying yourself of food. The Jewish tradition for Yom Kippur is to fast for 24 hours from sunset to sunset. But what good does this do if one does not tremble at the word of Yehovah and go out in obedience to life, a renewed life through his word? In Yeshayahu 66 verses 1 and 2, it says, "Heaven is my throne, says Yehovah, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house could you build for me? What sort of place could you devise for my rest? Didn't I make all these things? This is how they came to be, says Yehovah. The kind of person on whom I took with favor is one with a poor and humble ruach, who trembles at my word." This day, Yom Kippur, is to be treated like a Shabbat, but with a specific emphasis on getting our lives straight and changed before Yehovah. If you want to fast, go ahead, but realize that it is the subjection of the soul that Yehovah is after, so that it conforms to the eternal Ruach HaKodesh, which contacts Yehovah and Yeshua in eternity, which is reborn from above when we, by faith, trust in Yeshua's death and resurrection for us personally. It's a personal thing. It's not something that I can do for anyone. On Pesach, or Passover, the first of the seven festivals of Yehovah, our Yeshua, our Saviour, was nailed to a stake. And he died in order to be able to forgive us of our sins and to remove our sins as far as the east is from the west, and to declare us righteous before the Father. After 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead. But early that morning on the first day of the week, that is Yom Rishon, Miriam from Magdala came to the garden to see where they'd laid her master. She saw that he wasn't there. and learned he had risen. But he was still there in the garden. She saw him and thought he was the gardener. Until he said her name, she recognized his voice. And she said, "Rabbini, my teacher." She went to throw herself at his feet, but he wouldn't let her touch her. He had not yet ascended to the Father. This story is taken from Yochanan, John chapter 20, verses 11 to 17. What was Yeshua going to do? The next you hear is that he appears to his Talmudim sometime later. Where did he spend the first day after he was in the grave? He wouldn't allow Miriam to touch him, but later he told Tohomah to touch him and put his hand in his side. What happened between those two points? Well, I'm assuming, I can't guarantee it, I haven't asked him in person yet. He ascended with his blood to be sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven and to assume his role as our great high priest. He went before the Ancient of Days, which was spoken of in Daniel chapter 7, and obtained his inheritance. He took his own blood within the veil, within the parakeet in heaven, and sprinkled it on the eternal mercy seat to fulfill Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, according to Vayikra, Leviticus 23, 26 to 33, and Leviticus 16, the Kohen Hagadol, or high priest, would take blood, offer it for himself and his family, then take it in a basin in this one day of the year behind the parakeet, behind the curtain, into where the Ark of the Covenant sat. There he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat of the Ark. But our Messiah, our Saviour, our Redeemer, took his own blood and sprinkled it before the Father in heaven as the High Priest for the forgiveness of all of the house of Yaakov, that is, all Israel, the 12 tribes. Pesach and Yom Kippur are eternally linked. He will declare openly the final result of what he did on that day of his resurrection. In Vayikra, Leviticus 16 speaks of the atonement made by the Kohen Agadol and the two goats. We read in Vayikra, Leviticus 16, 15 to 16a, "Next he is to slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood before the curtain, and do with its blood as he did with the bull's blood, sprinkling it on the Ark of the Covenant in front of the Ark cover. He will make atonement for the holy place before the uncleannesses of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins." And in Vayikra 16, 20 to 22, "When he is finished atoning for the holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he is to present the live goat. Aharon is to lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the transgressions, crimes and sins of the people of Israel. He is to put them on the head of the goat and then send it away into the desert with a man appointed for that purpose. The goat will bear all their transgressions away to some isolated place, and he is to let the goat go in the desert. The goat never returns. The sins never return. It's like when I'm praying for people and they've got illness or sickness or pain within their body, I cast it into dry and arid places, never to return. Because that example was shown to me by the sins of the Kapara of Yom Kippur, where the goat was sent out into dry and arid places. If it's in dry and arid places for when no one is, then it can't, those sins, That illness cannot then come back and attach itself on another human being, because it's in dry and arid places, never to return. And that's the reason I do that. Yeshua also removed our sins far from us. He removed them as far as the earth is from the heavens. In Tehillim Psalms 103, verses 1 to 11, he said, King David says, "He has not treated us as our sins deserve, or paid us back for our offences, because his mercy towards those who fear him is as far above the earth as heaven." And in Micah chapter 7, verses 18 to 20, it says, "Who is a God like you, pardoning the sin and overlooking the crimes of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in grace. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. You will throw all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will show truth to Yaakov and grace to Avraham, as you have sworn to our ancestors since the days of long ago." Those sins were thrown into the depths of the sea. They were never to be brought back out again. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 43, verse 25, it says, I am the one who blots out your offences for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. If you have repented of your sins, Yehovah will not bring them back to you, put them on you and put a guilt trip back on you. He says, I will not remember your sins. If you have repented, let them go. Don't keep thinking that they've got to, that you know you've got to repent again and again for the same sin. Unless you're committing it again and again, of course, which some people do. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 44:22 says, "Like a thick cloud, I wipe away your offences. Like a cloud, your sins. Come back to me, for I have redeemed you." And in Yeshayahu 45:17, "But Israel, saved by Yehovah with an everlasting salvation, you will never, ever be ashamed or disgraced." We have to take hold of these words, because Yehovah is speaking to you through them. Yehovah tells us that he is our Savior, our Redeemer, and he blots out our sins and removes them far from us. And we read in Messianic Jews Hebrews today in chapter 7, 28 to 8:2, and chapter 9, 11 and 15, and 22 and 28, that on Yom Kippur the Kohen HaGadol offered first for himself and then for his family. If he didn't do that, then he would die, going before the presence of Yehovah on the ark. Then he went in with the blood for the sins of the people. When we read of Yeshua as our Kohen HaGadol, or our high priest, we see a different picture. In Messianic Jews Hebrews 7 to 27, it says, "One who does not have the daily necessity, like the other Kohanim Gadolim, offering up sacrifices first for their own sins, and only then for those people, because he offered one sacrifice once and for all by offering himself. For the Torah appoints as Kohanim Gadolim men who have weakness, but the text which speaks about the swearing of the oath, a text written later than the Torah, appoints a son who has been brought to the goal forever." We are blessed to have Yeshua in our lives, because he sacrificed his life for our sins. In Messianic Jews Hebrews 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Here is the whole point of what we have been saying. We do have just such a Kohen HaGadol as been described, and he does sit at the right hand of HaGadolah in heaven. There he serves in the holy place, that is the true tent of meeting, the one erected not by human beings, but by Yehovah. Here we see that our high priest serves as our mediator in the Mishkan in heaven. The plan for the tabernacle given to Moshe were an exact duplicate of the Mishkan in heaven. In 1 Timothy 2, 5-6 it says, "For Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony to Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. I speak this into your lives every single Shabbat, and I do it for a reason. I do it, one, because Yehovah told me to, and two, so it gets into your soul, into your innermost being, that there is no other but Yeshua that can take away the sins of man, that could provide for us everything that we need." In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, which we also read today, "But when the Messiah appeared as Kohen Gadol for the good things that are happening already, then through the greater and more perfect tent, which is not man-made, that is, it is not of this created world, he entered the holiest place once and for all. He entered not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus setting people free forever." Yeshua HaMashiach took his own blood behind the veil or the kapurah in heaven. The scripture doesn't say when this happened. In my thinking, but I can be wrong, this could have only happened between when Miriam of Magdala first saw Yeshua as he in the early daylight hours, and when the time that he went to the upper room with Ta'omar and the 12 and the 11 disciples. In Tehillim, Psalms 99 and verse 1, it says, "Yehovah is king, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned on the Keruvim, let the earth shake." We see that Yehovah is enthroned between the Keruvim on the mercy seat. So actually, Yeshua took his blood and sprinkled it before the presence of Yehovah. What an awesome thing. You know, I just can just imagine that. Not many things I can. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews 9 and verse 24, it says, "For the Messiah has entered a holiest place, which is not man-made and merely a copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, in order to appear now on our behalf in the very presence of Yehovah." And in Messianic Jews 9:26, "For then he would have had to suffer many deaths many times from the founding of the universe on. But as it is, he appeared once at the end of the ages in order to do away with sin through the sacrifice of himself." And Yochanan Aleph, or 1 John 2:2 says, "Also, he is the kaparah for our sins, not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world." The word kaparah is often used synonymously with propitiation, which means mercy seat or place of atonement. Yeshua is our atoning sacrifice. He, by his blood on the mercy seat, he has not only forgiven us, but he has removed our sins far from us. He has not just covered them over with the blood of animals, as is done by the Kohen Gadol in the temple or in the Hebrew temple, but he has removed them. Atonement is like sweeping the sins under a carpet. They're still there, but they're covered over. But what Yeshua did for us, he removed our sins far from us, and they are no longer with us. Yom Kippur is a day to come before our high priest with humble thanksgiving. It is a day to open ourselves up unreservedly to him, so that he might convict us of things in our lives that need changing. It is a day to repent of known sin. Pesach was the removal of willful sin, those things we did to rebel against him with full knowledge, those acts of transgression against his Torah. And there's no sin without Torah, because it's the Torah that reveals to us what our sins are. And he did this to restore us to the favour of Yehovah, so that we could be justified in his sight, so that we could be restored to his covenant Torah, and therefore walk as good citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Pesach removed from us the stain of sin received from our inheritance as children of Adam and Hava. Yeshua's death as our Pesach lamb was the sacrifice of himself to remove sin from us, so that we could walk in newness of life and be new creations before him. We could be the children of light. In 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8, it says, get rid of the old hummets so that you can be a new batch of dough, because in reality you are unleavened. For our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. So let us celebrate the Seder not with leftover hummets, but with the hummets of wickedness and evil, but with the matzah of purity and truth. And in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, it says, therefore, if anyone is united with the Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Look what has become fresh and new. And it is all from Yehovah, who through the Messiah has reconciled us to himself and has given us the work of that reconciliation, which is that Yehovah in the Messiah was reconciling mankind to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of the Messiah, in effect. Yehovah is making his appeal through us. What we do is appeal on behalf of the Messiah. Be reconciled to Yehovah. Yehovah made this sinless man be a sin offering on our behalf. Excuse me. So that in union with him, we might fully share in Yehovah's righteousness. Yeshua died to destroy the works of Hasatan, so that we could be freed from the power of sin, freed from slavery, from the kingdom of darkness, free from our own desire to sin, free to practice righteousness, freed from slavery to our own lusts, and free to serve Yehovah with all our heart, mind, and strength. Free to know Yehovah and his son Yeshua, free to live as children of the Most High, free to have eternal life, freed from eternal death. By his resurrection, we can have eternal life. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 13 to 16 says, before Yehovah, nothing created is hidden, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. Therefore, since we have a great Kohen HaGadol who has passed through the highest heaven, Yeshua, the Son of Yehovah, let us hold firmly to what we acknowledge as true. For we do not have a Kohen Gadol unable to empathize with our weaknesses, since in every respect he was tempted just as we are, the only difference being he did not sin. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne from which Yehovah gives grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. We are open and exposed before him. He is not impressed with our religious doings, our cloaks of spirituality. He wants our genuine sorrow for sin and our turning from sin. He is a gracious Kohen HaGadol ready to forgive, ready to help us. Yet we must be open to him, not coming with any hidden agendas. He came so that he could write the Torah on our heart. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews, it says in chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, "This is the covenant which I will make with them after those days, as Yehovah. I will put my Torah on their hearts and write it on their minds." And then he adds, "And their sins and their wickedness I will remember no more." In Yirmiyahu 31, verses 31 to 33, which we say every week, "Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim and they will be my people." When I think of Egypt, I think of sin and I think of bondage and I think of slavery and slavery to sin. Each and every one of us have been pulled out of Egypt, and we can walk in freedom and peace with Yeshua, our Messiah. In Ezekiel or Yechezkel 11, 19 and 20, it says, "I will give them unity of heart. I will put a new spirit among you. I will remove from their bodies the hearts of stone and give them hearts of flesh, so they will live by my regulations, obey my rulings and act by them. Then they will be my people and I will be their Elohim." And further in Yechezkel 36:22, "Therefore tell the house of Israel that Yehovah Elohim says this, I am not going to do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have been profaning among the nations where you were sent." Messianic Jews, Hebrews 9 and verse 7, it says, "But only the Kohen HaGadol enters the inner one, and he brings in only once a year, and he must always bring blood, which he offers both for himself and for the sins committed in ignorance by the people." They're not sins that you meant to do. They're not sins that you purposefully committed. They're not sins of rebellion like we spoke of in Passover. But Yom Kippur is for the sins that you didn't know you'd committed. Maybe it was the words you should have said and didn't say. Maybe it was the person you should have helped and you didn't help. The whole of Yom Kippur is about absolving the whole nation of Israel, all of the tribes as a whole, of their sins of mistakes of ignorance. Pesach is for personal redemption. It's originated from Shemot, Exodus chapter 12. Each family had to have a lamb so that the blood of the lamb would cause the death angel to pass over. In the days of the tabernacle and of the Mishkan, daily the people could bring sin offerings, burnt offerings, guilt offerings and wave offerings. The mitzvot of animal sacrifice were clearly stated in Vayikra or Leviticus. But Yom Kippur is not a personal redemption. It's about national redemption. Sins that have attached themselves to us all as humans since the Garden of Eden. It's about Yehovah absolving the nation of sin, sins of ignorance and mistakes made during the year that have cut people off from his best for them. We are totally aware of many of these sins. Parents who now guard the Torah often tell me how they regret not teaching their children of the Torah. People regret sins of bad decisions, to marry outside of his will. In our ignorance as believers, we did many things against Jehovah's eternal covenant of Torah. We entered into many pagan and occult things, thinking they were innocent. We were taught to believe many lies and falsehoods, not even found in the scriptures. Therefore, these are the sins of ignorance, because we just didn't know the truth. And we actually didn't know that we didn't know. We just did what we were told, and we thought it was correct. But now that we know the truth, we just don't come out of those things 100%. We must repent. Repentance means to turn totally around and go the other way. Stop what we're doing and embrace the right road. Repentance does not mean saying I'm sorry for the 100th time. It means stopping the sin once and for all. Yehovah will give us this grace, for if we make the determined stand to do his will. In Vayikra Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 4 and Numbers 15, 22 to 28, it tells us that there must be a blood sacrifice for sins of mistakes or sin of ignorance. In worshipping the pagan gods of Greece and Rome via Christianity, we've broken the first commandment. By going along with the Greco-Roman pagan celebrations of the church, we defiled ourselves, according to Devarim Deuteronomy 13. By not guarding Shabbat, we broke the fourth commandment. By using his not wrong name and bringing it to nothingness, we broke the third commandment. But we didn't know. We had no idea. By participating in Halloween and Christmas and Easter, we defiled ourselves with pagan practices that Yehovah calls abominations. By eating pork, shellfish, and other disgusting things that he created as garbage collectors, we defiled our bodies. We were not set apart as he is set apart. Our pastors told us that we didn't have to obey the Torah, which is the teachings and instructions of the kingdom of heaven, and we believe them. In Hosea chapter 2 and 3, the house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes scattered in among the Gentiles into the nations by Yehovah during 1000 BCE and 722 BCE, mostly ended up in what we call Christian nations today. We lost our identity as children of Yaakov. Most of us didn't know we were in the house of Israel or Yaakov, the house of Ephraim, or the house of Yosef, as we were called. Thus, we did a lot of sinning by ignorance. The future is shown to us in Yechezkel Ezekiel 37:22. It says, I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. One king will be king of all of them. They will no longer be two nations. They will never again be divided into two kingdoms. Here we see that Yehovah restores the whole house of Yaakov, all 12 tribes, back together as one. When does he do that? Well, according to Romans 11, 26, 27, that it is in this way that all Israel will be saved. As the Tanakh says, out of Zion will come the Redeemer. He will turn away ungodliness from Yaakov. And this will be my covenant with them, and I will take away their sins. We see that Yehovah declares all Israel is saved. But when does he do that? Well, according to Joel 3, 1 and 2, it says, for then at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Yehuda and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, that is, Yehovah judges. I will enter into judgment there for my people, my heritage Israel, whom they scattered among the nations. Then they divided my land. In Matityahu 25:31-46, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, accompanied by all the angels, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be assembled before him. He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. The sheep he will place on the right, and the goats he will place on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you to whom my father has blessed, Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you made me your guest. I needed clothes, and you provided them. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the people who have done what Yehovah wants will reply, Adonai, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and make you our guest, or needing clothes and provide them? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will say to them, Yes, I tell you, that whenever you did these things for the least one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did them for me. Then he will also speak to those on his left, saying, Get away from me, you who are cursed. Go off into the fire prepared for the adversary and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. Thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. A stranger, and you did not welcome me. Needing clothes, and you did not give them to me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they too will reply, Adonai, when did you see me? When did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, needing clothes, sick or in prison, and not take care of you? And he will answer them, Yes, I tell you that whenever you refused to do it for the least important of these people, you refused to do it for me. They will go off to eternal punishment, and those who have done what Yehovah wants will go to eternal life. From these words of Yeshua, we see that Yehovah judges the nations as to how they have treated his brethren. When does he do that? On Yom Kippur. 10 days after Yeshua returns on Yom Teruah, he will sit on his throne as both high priest and king. He will do two initial things as he begins his reign over the earth for 1,000 years. He will proclaim that all Israel is saved by his blood, all those who have claimed his death and resurrection for their eternal life are saved, absolved of sin and guilt and shame, as we read in Romans 11, 26 and 27. He will sit and judge the nations right there in front of the eastern gate in the valley of Jehoshaphat, that is the North Kidron Valley, and when it refers to the king Yoshiyahu or Josiah and Malachim Beit or 2 Kings chapter 23, in the same place to cleanse the temple and the land in which you read in Joel 3, 1 and 2 and Matityahu 25, 31 to 46. When Yehovah declares all Israel saved, he will declare the words from Ezekiel or Yechezkel 37. The word of Yehovah came to me, You human being, take one stick and write on it for Yehuda and those joined with him among the people of Israel. Next take another stick and write on it for Yosef, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel who are joined with him. And finally bring them together into a single stick, so that they become one in your hand. And when your people ask you what all this means, tell them that Yehovah Elohim says this, I will take the stick of Yosef, which is in the hand of Ephraim, together with the tribes of Israel, who are joined with him, and put them together with the stick of Yehuda, and make them a single stick, so that they become one in my hand. The sticks on which you write are to be in your hand as they watch. Then say to them that Yehovah Elohim says, I will take the people of Israel from among the nations where they have gone and gather them from every side and bring them back to their own land. I will make them one nation in the land, and on the mountains of Israel the one king will be king of all of them. There will no longer be two nations, and they will never again be divided into two kingdoms. They will never again defile themselves with their idols, their detestable things, or any of their transgressions. But I will save them from all the places where they have been living and sinning. I will cleanse them so that they will be my people, and I will be their Elohim. My servant David will be king over them, and all of them will have one shepherd. They will live by my rulings and keep and exert my regulations. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, where your ancestors lived. They will live there, they, their children, and their grandchildren, forever. And David, my servant, will be their leader forever. I will make a new covenant with the peace with them, an everlasting covenant. I will give to them, increase their numbers, and set my sanctuary among them forever. My home will be with them. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. The nations will know that I am Yehovah, who sets Israel apart as holy, when my sanctuary is with them forever. This scripture is telling me that all the tribes are united, no matter where they come from on this earth, and in Yehovah's hand. And they are once again, for the first time since the days of King Shlomo, one nation under Yehovah. This is the declaration of the final redemption of the whole house of Yaakov and the restoration of the house back together under him. As the son of David, the king of Israel, what a glorious day is the reason why Yeshua died. He tells us in Matityahu 15:24, he came for the lost sheep of Israel to restore them back to the covenant of Yehovah. Now is his first act after coming out of the chuppah with his bride, who declares the whole house restored. Can we all say hallelujah to that? His first proclamation as king and high priest on that Yom Kippur is to declare that his blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat in the heavens, and that all of his people are saved, delivered, freed, filled with the Ruach, walking in Torah, and now blessed and happy together as one nation in the kingdom before him. This should bring us great joy on this day, because all of our sins, our mistakes, all of our regrets, all of our humanness that turned sour have all been forgiven and forgotten, because he is also the sacrifice for the sins of mistake. But we must repent. We don't just go on with life as usual. We must let him know that we will change the mistakes and correct them to walk with him in a new life. For example, if you didn't teach your children the Torah, then start now to live the Torah before them. So set aside this day to humbly thank him for his role in our redemption, to remove our sins and set us free. As individuals and as a whole, as his people, his children united in him as our Father and our Redeemer. Let us lay down our personal agendas and self-life and pick up Yeshua's execution stake and follow him in newness of life. Let us stop the silliness that keeps us going in circles. Let us go forward with victory. And let us use this time to prepare for the coming great Yom Kippur, when Yeshua returns at the time Yehovah determines. I know that was a long message. I'm sorry, but I just felt I had to get it out. Now, is there anyone that's got any questions? Because we've only got 10 minutes before we've got to start packing up. I covered it okay? Malachi, would you like to come, please?